the Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Well, what an hour we have for you this second hour of the show. You know, several years ago, I had the pleasure of spending a couple days hanging out with Robin Williams. And I remember those days as mainly just crying with laughter the whole time. And I think the closest experience I've had to that since then was working on Paranormal Paparazzi with Scott Gruenwald. He is, the guy is just a very hilarious, sharp, crazy fella who is, he's been in the paranormal for 10 years, and he lives his life with as much fun as possible. He's been on the big shows like Paranormal Challenge, Ghost Adventures. If you have not seen The Paranormal Stew, you need to check this out. We'll talk to him about that. And I believe that we can affectionately call him the original para whore. Scott Gruenwald, welcome, sir, to Speaking of Strange.
Oh, my gee. I have arrived. I cannot believe I'm here, brother.
I stamp you with approval. Bless you, my
Thank
son.
Thank you. I have been stamped by Joshua P. Dubs.
You know, you're actually a very mysterious figure because I realized when I was hanging out with you, nobody really knew exactly what your real story was. You're always, you know, you're always joking, you're BSing people left and right, and but they love it because they never know where you're coming from. Tell us, what is the real story behind Scott Gruenwald?
My grandmother was killed by a gang of bikers, and that's how I got into the paranormal, is I found her body laying... No, actually, really what happened was I'm a shy guy. I grew up a twin with a... Now, my twin is a female by the name of Lori. Officially, we call Lori. She was always a popular kid, you know. She was the cheerleader. She did all that stuff. And I was a kid that kind of spent Saturday nights in a book at the library. The weird kid in the summertime that wore the turtleneck sweaters and walked around with books and had a beard and it was like 12. Yeah, that was me. And so I never liked to get out in front of people, okay? And then as my life progressed, I realized that I really didn't care what people thought of me. You know, get to know me, and if you don't like me, it's, you know, no biggie. You know, go on like somebody else. And I started doing porn. No, I started doing things. I started getting involved in, you know, speaking and stuff like that. Did some went to Columbia School of Broadcasting, did some radio shows, and frankly, to this day, I still get shy. But when I do this thing called the Paranormal Stew, I don't have to be any way. We tell you don't watch it. We tell you we're just a bunch of whores. We tell you so it'll give you the runs. We tell you that it's the worst thing on there. It's not really reverse psychology, because if you've seen this thing, this mess, you would know it's all truth. We got like 5 viewers that watch every week, I think. I don't know how many we have, but we've got a little following. Now I can just be myself. And I like being this guy who has a tree fort, a Barbie collection, and occasionally stumbles into a gay and lesbian chat room, and that's okay.
Well, the stew, it really is hilarious. How did this thing begin? What's the story behind the stew?
My ego is so huge that I was doing a show called The Wolf Manor Live. It was early Ustream stuff, when you can actually call Ustream, and they'd answer the phone, "Hello, Ustream," and we'd say, "We're having problems here." And then it just got all big, and I don't know, it's just huge now. So, but back in the day, there was just a couple of us doing these paranormal shows, like Tim Woods and myself and whatever. And then we had to stop. We had to shut down the show. And I went into this depression. My sister, Lori, we spoke of earlier, and my beautiful wife, Linda, put this thing together. So let's just do one show, one night, We'll call it the stew or the C word. We're either going to call it the C word or the stew. And so we called the stew and almost got sued again for that. We've been sued three times. And we did one show. All of a sudden, people are like, hey, we want to see it again. And we're like, well, okay, we'll do two shows. Well, I don't know. We've done 1,200 shows. I don't know what we've done now, but we've done a lot of shows. And frankly, we started spoofing the paranormal. You know, I played Zach Bagans, and I had the brick chase me around the room. And it was just really corny, cut up, Saturday Night Live-ish spoofs and stunts, you know. And it's now this parahordom, the followers, they bought these parahor shirts and stuff. It's grown so huge that when we miss a week, they're like on us. They're on Facebook and Twitter. And, hey, where's the stew? How come we can't get the stew? I mean, what's going on with the stew? And granted, it's on a Friday night, perfect time to put a show because then, you know, nobody's really around to watch it, which is pretty much okay by me. And so it started this thing, and it became this infection, and people want us to do stuff live, and we've cleared rooms. We did this thing called QueenCon, and, you know, I went around the room kissing guys on the mouth, and, you know, it was just like, it was so insane, and there was these two older ladies, I'd say, a little bit older than me, maybe in their 60s, they were sitting in the front with their mouths wide open, and I looked at them, I thought, oh, this, you know, what am I doing here? Because we were just getting too nuts, we cleared the room, people thought we were vulgar, and then after a while, these two older ladies came up and said, that was the most fun they've ever had at a paranormal convention, and that's kind of what mattered. You know, that put it into perspective that, you know, do we have to be that serious in the paranormal? Do we have to go out there with our life savings spent on these gadgets, which I love your book, which shows that you don't have to spend a lot of money, Joshua, on this stuff, and it's the poor man's book to the paranormal. But it became this thing where people say, okay, will you come to our event? And will you come to this event? And we brought this funniness to these places that were, oh, sad maybe, asylums, boys' homes, prisons. And it took a long time for people, you know, they step back and they look at us, they're not quite sure what we're doing. Now, okay, Josh, you and I, we take a pistol, we put a gun in it, we put it on the table, we do a PVP session, the ghosts know that's a gun, you know. The blinking lights sometimes scare them and stuff, but comedy jokes and stuff, apart from having sex in a paranormal investigation, which is actually, nakedness is the perfect trigger object for ghosts. And I can prove that.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know I can. So, unfortunately, more people are going to know that soon than up. But the fact is that whether it's just a cheesy joke, EVP sessions don't have to be just, you know, hey, what's your name? You know, these demanding sort of things that we do to the other side. And I love period clothing, and I love paranormal stimulus, and I love these things that people do to attract the other side. Well, why not fun? I mean, why not comedy or sex? Which, sex or comedy, both of them are really good to do. And frankly, we've got a lot of evidence. And if anybody out there that's listening to Josh's amazing show that has any footage of them doing naked paranormal investigation, please send that to me, and I will go over that footage and over it. Over it. And I'll let you know my findings.
Well, you know, just to let people know how serious you are, okay, when we all went out in the field and did our investigations for Paranormal Paparazzi, and then we brought our content back to New York, we got in the studio and started going over it. I believe the very first episode, they said, okay, now let's see what Scott has done. Next thing I know, you're on the screen butt naked with several other butt naked people, and Travel Channel has a little blur or a big blur, depending on what you're used to. right there over the family jewels, and you're running around and you're really naked in a haunted place. Now, we have about 3 minutes before our first break. Tell us a little more about that, Scott.
I'm in a great group, and they follow the same belief system as I do. If you're out there and you've got a significant other, a significant brother, I don't care what it is, and you're at a haunted location, you have a moment to sneak off, take off your clothes and have sex. Just do it. You know, do it and have it secured and videotape it and gather all your evidence. Something will happen to you. This group that I met have the same belief system I do, that sex brings out the ghost. Josh, you and I are dead, right? What are we going to do when we see people having sex? We're going to be like, I'm watching this. You know, you can watch the guys over in the other room that are doing EVP sessions and talk to them, but I'm over here watching the hardcore porn.
And so, and you somehow got this by the Travel Channel sensors, which is amazing, actually.
They came to me and they kept saying, "Hey, can we talk to him? We're on in 5 minutes." So I get over to my desk and I sit down, and they were behind me making that phone call against the air, thinking, "Hey, we want to talk to you." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I'm ditching them because I don't know." I'm thinking, "Oh God, they're gonna this is it—the moment where they say, hey, can you please stand up?' And Dave Schrader's gonna sit right there or something. You know what I mean? That you're done here." So I kept ditching them, and then finally, when I looked up with them, they were like, "You know, we're gonna go ahead and let your story, because that's not the only one that's on the edge." We like those stories, and I always wondered, you know, to this day, am I the first person to appear naked on the Travel Channel? But I think Anthony Bourdain might have that. Not sure.
Well, as another bit of evidence here, I was stuck out there in the swamps looking for skunk apes, or they have me off, you know, somewhere in New Orleans, you know, chasing down some creepy snake or something. You, on the other hand, get to go to the Bunny Ranch and hang out with, Dennis Hoff, is that right? Is that his name?
Yes, that is his name. I think to this day it's still his name.
Okay, so him and all of his prostitutes, the real whores.
Right. And they don't mind you if you call them. And I was like, because I had, you know, a pair of horse shirt on there. I was like, is this wrong? And here's what's kind of great. I had to play the gay card before I went in there, because I'm like, you know, I have to stay focused. So I went in there as a gay man, you know, and they were like, okay, you know, and what a great time. They really know how to, you know, I mean, for someone to just, you know, open their legs, arms to you and just welcome you into their place was just, they were amazing. I love those people.
It's just incredible. We're going to take our first break here. And when we come back, we'll talk more about this show, Paranormal Paparazzi. And I've been trying to tell all of you listening to the program that this upcoming TV show, it is not your run-of-the-mill, old-hat paranormal show. We are doing things that are unpredictable, edgy, crazy, and you just have no idea what direction we're going to go next. And Scott Gruenwald exemplifies that philosophy. So hopefully we're crystallizing a bit more here what the multifaceted paranormal paparazzi TV show is going to be like. Again, it debuts on September 28th, 2012, 7 p.m. And if you're in the Asheville area, we are going to have a big party here at the Wild Wing Cafe at 6 p.m. I'll be there and we'll watch it together. When we come back, we'll talk more with Scott Gruenwald, and we'll also get his insight on how the whole para-whore movement began. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Turn it out! Without a doubt! They 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 turn it out! 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 They turn it out!
Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the program where the unusual becomes usual. Thanks again for spending your Saturday night with us. And, of course, we're in the midst of our series introducing you week after week to various cast members on the upcoming Travel Channel TV series Paranormal Paparazzi that debuts on September the 28th. This hour, talking with Scott Gruenwald, a reporter on the program just like myself. And, of course, if you want to know more about the Paranormal Stew, the website is The Stew, that's S-T-U, thestew.info, and we'll have a link to that and other things related to our conversation posted for you at speakingofstrange.com. So now, Scott, there are thousands of people in this country who are proudly wearing black T-shirts that say para-whore on them. Did you create that, or what's the story behind the para-whore T-shirt?
Well, okay, we ordered one. We made one. It was like $100. It's a very simple font that para-whore. And then we made two. And then the guy kept the screen, and we made five. So we take these five shirts, and we go to the Stanley, and the beautiful Stanley Hotel I speak of. And there was a deal, hey, can we get one of those shirts? And we just, okay. Some guy goes, I need $100 for those shirts. I'm like, no, you just take them. But you have to raise your right hand, and I have to swear you in. I state your name, blah, 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 I'm a para-whore. I will never leave another investigator alone at an event. He's like, what? And I look at my sister's shoes, that's it. That's the para-whore thing. People go to events. And you see that one girl over there sitting by herself? That girl might have the answer that you're looking for in the paranormal. The guy sitting over there by himself, he might have that chip, the speak jet chip, or whatever it's going to take to make your piece of equipment work. Networking, very important. If we're ever going to build this ghost phone or whatever it is, we've got to learn to share and get to know each other. So it became this thing. Then we had like 50 shirts. And then people were saying, hey, can you send the whores over to our event? Because what they do is they'll park cars. They'll, hey, how you doing? They greet everybody with a hug. They come on in. Can we get you a sandwich? Whatever, you know. And then it became this movement of these people doing really great things, okay? And usually, which was pretty cool, is I noticed that some of the people that were really kind of, they weren't great people, let's just say that, had bought these shirts, and somehow this metamorphosis happened, and now they're helping people at events. Now, and when it got up to about 4,500 shirts, or 4,500 members, I should say, they just started just selling them because they wanted a shirt that said Paranormal on it. So we do have some dedicated whores out there that are helping people, and they're doing what they do. But then there's just a whole bunch of them out there that are just sporting these shirts. I went to an event one time in Texas, and two girls had them on. I'm like, oh, great, guys. Hey, Paranormal. Hey, I'm Scott Gruenwald. Who are you? So really, you know, it became this thing where everybody just kind of wanted this very simple black shirt with big, bold, white letters saying Paranormal. But still, it started with one shirt. And now, I don't really know. We turned it over to somebody else because it just got too much. It was too much to handle, so. Because I go to events and I just throw them out in the crowd, you know. But you can't purchase these things on some place somewhere.
See, Google it. The American dream does exist, doesn't it, Scott?
It does. You can go from a guy that spent 6 months on the street homeless to being on TV. In a matter of like 15 years. I mean, I spent a lot of time on, you know, digging through trash cans and eating. And that's true. That's not BS. That's actually true. Seeing America through the eyes of a homeless person is definitely different than seeing America from the back of an RV, Looking at homeless people. So there you go. And so if people out there go, I can never do it. I can never, you know, that's one thing on the bucket list I'll never scratch off is being on TV. Don't sell yourself short. I got a call from Zach Vegas saying, hey, when you went to the bathroom on our show and we had to cut it out, do you remember when you actually went to the bathroom on the show when we were filming it? I go, yeah. Can you do that again for like 8 weeks? Absolutely. And that's how that conversation went. You know?
Well, of course, now you live in California, and so when we were shooting Paranormal Paparazzi, you got the mission of interviewing a lot of the celebrities that appear on the show.
I did.
You want to talk a little bit about some of the folks that you met?
I can't do that. I can't. I asked Darren if I could do that. He wants to say that. Yeah. Let's just say there was a lady who had very, very pretty girls. Na 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 na. Yeah, it's not porn. So work okay. your mind out there. And coochie coochie. And there's a lot happening out here. And you know, for people that have never been to California, yes, the movie stars do walk down. Hold on a second. There's Ben Affleck. What's up, Ben? Yeah, right on, bro. Yeah, they walk up and down the streets all the time. So right here in Fresno, too, in this rural area, Ben Affleck will walk right down in front of your house. So,
well, you know, recently I had Rachel Fine on the show, and I know that you were especially excited to get to work with her, right?
Oh, my G. I mean, I'm telling you right now, what a professional, amazing, beautiful human being. And I've been a fan. I was like, I'm sitting... Like, I could touch her, you know, I mean, I'm sitting at the table, I'm looking at her going, and she's looking at me like, oh, God, who's this creepy dude? But I'm like, this is Rachel Fine from Howard TV. I mean, that's all that plays at my house on the TVs. We have 6 TVs, we have 4 people that live here, and all the TVs have Howard Stern and Rachel Fine on it. And then she goes, oh, have you met my boyfriend, Richie Wilson? I'm like, it was like meeting, you know, Kevin Sorbo, another one I flipped out on, so... I mean, what an amazing thing to actually be. And then when she gave me a hug, it's like, I am never washing my body again.
And I remember your family, of course, I believe your son had a birthday during that period when we were shooting some stuff, and they signed his birthday card, right?
My son is like Richie Wilson. You have to get into that circle of trust and friendship. And my son's like that. And he's like that because he was raised on Richie Wilson. You know, he was raised on Rachel Fine. That's how he lived his life. Well, I asked him, hey, could you know, Rachel, would you something like sign his birthday card for my kid? And she goes, hey, no problem. Okay, I get it. And I put it, she puts it in an envelope. I go and I get him a T-shirt in New York, and I come back here. It's his birthday, and he's got all these presents. And now he's 30, okay? So it's 30th birthday. He opens his card, and he just falls against the counter, and he's like, oh, my God, look at this name. And he knew everybody's name, and you know, all these little... things. She was so nice. She went around and got these people's signatures and these little sayings that they say on there. And it's like, I became the coolest dad in the world. All of a sudden, it was like, you know, Dad, I will carry you everywhere you want to go on my back. It was, I mean, that's the kind of person Rachel Fine and Richie Wilson are, along with Brandon Wellington, yourself, and Julie. This is more than a TV. I've worked on TV shows where people go, they just separate. You know, we shoot something and they separate. So it goes in here, somebody goes out there, and the crew does their own thing, and he doesn't like that on Paranormal Paparazzi. It's like, hey, let's go get some sandwiches. Okay, we're running down the street and having fun and causing trouble, and it's not just, I hate the word talent, but it's not just the talent. We got a couple cameramen with us, we got a sound guy, we got Joe Townley, and we're all having a great time. And the crew who's worked on hundreds of thousands of shows, they're like, your team isn't like anything we've ever dealt with before. Because I'm watching them as they shoot us, holding their noses because they're going to laugh. These are professional camera sound guys that have heard Seinfeld and all these people they worked with holding their noses so they don't burst out laughing at us doing our thing. We've built this family that is just more than just 30 minutes on a Friday night.
All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, I think you make such a great point because I want to talk when we come back a little about the style that you employ because, indeed, walking down the street, folks, with Scott Gruenwald takes forever because he's talking to everybody. But by doing that, he stumbles into some of the most amazing situations and gets access to some incredible things. Well, I'll see if I can get him to tell a story when we come back about something that he stumbled into when we were in Manhattan when he just decided to go out and, you know, run around for a couple hours by himself on a weekend. Scott Gruenwald is one of the cast members on Paranormal Paparazzi. It's going to debut on Friday, September 28th, 2012, at 7 p.m. on the Travel Channel. Mark it down. Put it on your calendar right now. You've never seen a show like this, and I stake my reputation on that. I've done a lot of TV, and this one is really something special. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Scott Gruenwald. And remember, go check out thestew.info if you want to see, what all the fuss is about there. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. Program where the unusual becomes usual. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. And we're talking tonight with another one of the reporters on Paranormal Paparazzi, that debuts on the Travel Channel September the 28th at 7 p.m., Mr. Scott Gruenwald. And, you know, before the break, I was talking about sort of your style, Scott, how that you use sociability and fun and conversation to just constantly sort of find new venues, new opportunities, new adventures. And it's funny because when we were in New York, you know, there would be a time when, you know, I'd sleep late or something. I'd get up and we would catch up with each other and you would tell me what you had done for the past 2 or 3 hours. And you were just getting off on these like crazy, Forrest Gump, you know, type adventures. And if you don't mind talking about it, you want to tell us about the NFL draft story?
Funny story. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so I've got plenty of time to, before New York kind of wakes up and stuff. So I walk, and I buy a couple oatmeals for me and my homeless friends, and who are actually like doctors and lawyers and stuff, and it's really kind of cool. And I buy my groceries. I ate very well, by the way, in my hotel room, if anybody was concerned about my health. I was carrying my groceries, and I'm walking down the Radio City, and I see all these people out front, and it's like a mob of people. I'm like, hey, what's going on here? And they go like, well, it's the NFL draft. And I'm like, China, that's pretty cool, you know. So I'm walking down the side of it, and there's these two people standing there, a couple guys in Jersey, and a family. And this man walks up the door right while I'm walking up. He goes, "All right, VIPs, get your wristbands, get your hands out." So I put my hand out. Next thing you know, I have a black wristband on. They ask me my name. They whisk me through the VIP area. And next, I'm sitting in the NFL draft. Now, my son-in-law, my daughter, and some other people in my family, I'm texting them, like, right. Right, Pop. That's just when, and I send them pictures. They're like, "Oh my God, Pop's at the NFL draft." It's being at a place at a certain time. I never would have gone to the NFL draft if I hadn't just been walking along. And I'm in there with my groceries. I got a half gallon of milk and whatever. and I'm sitting amongst these fans, and there's Trent Dilfer right next to me, and then there's a couple other famous people, not as famous as Julie Alexander, of course, but, I mean, famous sports figures around, and I was like, this is awesome. And they're going, here, have sandwiches, and I don't drink alcohol or do drugs or any of that, so. But if I did, there's plenty of, not drugs, but alcohol there for free. It was just, it was amazing. And I spent the time in New York doing that, sliding open doors, calling for the mole people. I mean, it's, you're there, you might as well live it, you know, and I love people. I love ghost stories. If you ever see me walking around, come up and tell them. A lot of people are like, God, I'm so tired of hearing ghost stories. Not me. I want to hear them. I want to hear them. I want to detail it. And I want you to at least take at least an hour of my time. I will give you as much time as you want to tell me how you feel about your story. So I love people. I love all races, all everybody. Even people I don't even speak the same language. I love to hang out with them. And I'm trying to learn Chinese while I'm in New York so I can buy this underground purse for my daughter. And it becomes a way of life. You're only going to be in that spot, this spot right now where I'm standing in the Stu studio. I'm only going to be right here, right now with you, Joshua, one time ever at this spot. Now I can step to the left and I'm in it's a whole different thing. So it's, make the most of it. You know, there's a lot of hate out there, and it's just so much energy to hate, and it's so easy to love, you know? And I love my tree fort, and I love my Barbie collection, and I am a little bit different than most people. And get to know me, you know, and get to know each other. Joshua, you're amazing. The stuff you told me, I'm like, how did you squeeze that all into your young life?
Yeah. Oh, it's as Indiana Jones says, it's not the years, it's the mileage. And let me tell you. So, well, let me ask you this, Scott. Now, given this strategy, this technique, this outlook that you have, give us one good, solid experience you've had when you have documented something paranormal or experienced something paranormal in your life that was triggered by this.
Okay. I went to a haunted location in Clovis, California. And I went there, and I'm tired, and I'm a little complacent in my thinking, and I'm just like, I'm just going to go there, and I'm just going to walk this thing, and I'm hang out with the people and everything. I go there, and I fall in love with this guy, and his name's Todd Wolf. And we click, and it's like, he's telling me his ghost story, and I'm getting really excited. So I go inside this place, and all of a sudden, it felt like a room full of people. Now, I'm a bit skeptical, like yourself, not as quite as skeptical as Aaron Sanders, but I'm skeptical, you know, and I walk into this place, things are touching me. Things are greeting me. They're touching me in my bathing suit area. They're whispering in my ear because I'm with this guy. So this little chemistry I created with this gentleman that I'm with, okay, I go to the same place the next night. I go in there by myself, and it's like, oh, you know, I got some EVPs or, you know, whatever, right? He comes over. He gets back with me, and now things are happening again. So I believe that the energy that we emit or that we gather from other people, Josh, if you and I were doing a session, and then you and I and Rachel and the rest of the cast this session, it would be different because the energy is different. So that's, like, the best one I can think of by using this friendly sort of let me into your life kind of thing.
Yeah, and of course, like you were saying earlier, we focus so much now on using weird little gadgets and gizmos and technology, but if we're dealing with a ghost from 100 years ago, it's not necessarily going to respond to that, and so you like to use simpler techniques, right?
My paranormal kit I take with me costs $5, mm-hmm. Okay? $5, and that's if you're spending frivolously. Compass, bell, nursery rhyme book, some candles, done. Okay, I don't really need to capture evidence because I don't need to put it on Facebook or whatever to prove people that I'm into the ghost. This is a personal thing for me. This is a personal thing for me and the rest of my group, my son Larry, my daughter Jody, my son Cash, my wife Linda. I have a list here. They made me say it. We go to a place. We put a bell in the middle of the room. We say, ring the bell, please. You know? We read virtue because, again, they don't know what all these blinking lights are and stuff. It could be a bit intimidating, you know, to a ghost 100 years. So if we go, let's say we were doing ghost hunts in 1841, okay? We're doing ghosts in as near as 1841. What do we have? We got a bell. We got a compass, you know. We got a candle, you know, and a book of nursery rhymes. Okay, so they don't know. You know, maybe 30 years from now, us as paranormal investigators, I mean, us as a collective, as a whole, this worldwide, we might recognize those gadgets. But the people that have been, unfortunately, trapped, or whatever they are, they've been run freely, don't know this. So go down to the hardware store. Just do this once, groups. Get yourself a bell. And I'm not a know-it-all. Don't ever. No, I just know what works for me. Out of the 10 years I've been doing this, the bell's rang twice, okay? But the bell has rang twice. That's huge for me, okay? That's friggin' huge for me. So try it.
Yeah.
You know, bring it in, try that, and then go get your FLIR and your whatever else you use. But keep having sex in the paranormal. You keep doing that. Just have sex with people you're supposed to be having sex with, because if you have like a there's some people out there that have haunted locations that are just having sex with the people that, you know, to give them free tours. Don't do that.
Yeah, well, we've got about a minute here before our next break, but now have you experienced a succubus at some point in your life?
See, that's the whole thing, is I have. And so this thing, and I actually interviewed a gentleman for the show that shares the same stuff. Something happened to me one time, and it was that night with Todd Wolf. Something was touching me in my bathing suit area. And almost enough that I wanted to call my group bathing suit area paranormal, but that was definitely kind of silly. It was cupping me and touching me. And I'm like, back it up. And he's going, no, just put your arms up and let it happen. So I'm thinking, and I'm getting aroused. This is happening for me. I'm like, dude, I'm really getting aroused here. He goes, welcome to my beautiful home, the Wolf Manor.
Okay, and we'll take a break. And when we come back, in the final minutes of this hour, we'll talk about why that Scott Gruenwald ended up being featured on The Soup. You know, the show on E! Entertainment TV. I forget the guy's name who's the host, and he's just kind of going through all of the recent... what is it, Forrest? Say again? Joel McHale?
McHale?
Okay, Joel McHale, something like... He's going through all of the recent TV shows and showing, you know, clips from the various showbiz world. And, of course, I believe out of this entire series we did called Paranormal Challenge, I was a judge on that show. Scott was actually a contestant on a different episode. They picked this clip of Scott Gruenwald to put on E! As a part of The Soup. So we'll find out why that happened when we come back. He is one of the reporters on the upcoming Travel Channel series, Paranormal Paparazzi. Scott Gruenwald, I'm Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of Strange, we'll continue after this. We'll be right back. final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. And that's when we give you some of the more outrageous and controversial news as of late. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. And now I'm wrapping up my conversation with Scott Gruenwald, one of the reporters on the upcoming TV series Paranormal Paparazzi that's going to debut on the Travel Channel September the 28th, 7 p.m. Put it on your calendar. And, you know, before the break I mentioned, Scott, you were in a group that was a contestant group on Paranormal Challenge, and they decided to pick a clip of you and put it on Ease the Soup, isn't that right?
Yeah, I was really surprised. Zach and I have this relationship, and you may have the same relationship with Zach. It's a lot of texting, you know, not very much vocal. A lot of hugs when you see each other, but you're pretty much a texting relationship. When I get a call from him, I answer because it's something huge, and he is like, "Dude, do you ever watch The Soup?" I go, "Yeah, I've seen it." He goes, "Turn it on right now. I just saw us on the commercial," and I'm like, "You turned up the TV, turn it on." So I turn on the TV, and they said, "Well, sometimes some people need to be more affectionate or whatever with each other while doing a thing." Well, I was standing in a haunted location, Linda Vista Hospital, and I was saying, you know, "Yank on me," you know, and I put my privates out there, and my friend standing next to me, I said, "Come on, you want to yank on this?" And my friend's like, "Yank on this, that was great." Well, funny enough, to whoever, Josh or Joel, he put it on the show, and I was like, "Oh, I can't believe it." So, of course, I saved it to my phone, and I showed it to everybody, even the people that work at Taco Bell. I'm like, "Can you just look at this?" But it made it to The Soup, and that's like, you know, my kids are calling me. I got relatives calling me that don't really like me, but they're like, they like The Soup. And so they're like, "Hey, we just saw you on TV," and The Soup is huge, you know. I'm like, I don't know if we're the only ones at Paranormal Challenge that made it on The Soup, but it was quite thrilling. I mean, I was like, "I can't believe this," you know. And that was the kind of how the snowball started, really small, and started getting bigger and bigger, and I ended up in your lap, Josh, in New York.
What a career you've carved out for yourself, Scott.
I know, at 50.
and the phone just keeps ringing, you know. So
the phone keeps ringing, but it's not even plugged in. That's even weirder. We'll talk about that another time.
Well, okay. So let's give everybody a rundown here on how they can learn more about you and your work. Give us all the website addresses and, you know, plug all the stuff that people can find you at.
On Friday nights, about 7 p.m. ish, 8, I don't know, whenever we feel like it, there's a show called The Stew. TheStew.info, you can learn more about us. But if you want to see the show, you can go to www.PQRN, not P-O-R-N, because that's a whole different site, but it's PQRN.net. So it's PQRN.net. There's a button down on the bottom. They try to hide it, but you can find it. It says, "Don't watch this," or "Press this button, The Stew." And you press that button, and "I'm sorry right now in advance if you do this." So, yeah, please don't look at the show. Please don't watch the show. And if you do watch the show, I can't be responsible for your reputation. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, if you say you like it, it's on you. I'm also on Twitter, Scott Gruenwald, and it's easy, just like it's spelled. It sounded out, Scott Gruenwald. Scott Gruenwald. And you always see me writing on the shirt tails of Joshua P. Warren or Aaron Sagers or Zach Bacon. So if you look at their Twitters, you'll always see me like chiming in, "Yeah, that sounds great," or "Hey, yeah, hit me up." You know, I have nothing to do with the conversation, but you find me there writing the shirt tails. Or, frankly, you can actually come over to 125 Main Street in Fresno, California, and pull up and honk the horn, and we'll let you come on in. So.
Well, Scott, I think you have made it very clear the fire, the energy, the truly unique sense of humor and perspective that you bring to this field, but especially to this show, Paranormal Paparazzi. And I know we have some wild adventures ahead of us. So I can say sincerely, and I know I've said this about some other people as well, but for me, one of the best things about working on this show was getting to know you and become your friend. And hey, congratulations on your success, and thanks for keeping it fun, man.
Dude, thank you for being you. Thanks for donating to the StuCon thing. Thank you very much.
You're certainly welcome. All right, well, there you have it. Scott Gruenwald, and his name is spelled Gruenwald. Scott Gruenwald, and he tweets a lot, and it's always good, funny, thought-provoking stuff. So that's another thing. If you follow on Twitter, you'll see, go to my Twitter page if you have any problem, and you'll see that I follow Scott Gruenwald, and you can follow him as well. So little by little, you're starting to get the idea of what this new TV show is going to be like, Paranormal Paparazzi. The debut September 28th, 7 p.m. on the Travel Channel. When we come back, it will be the Dark 30 Hour. A part of me thought maybe I should keep Scott around for that, but then I thought, yeah, I'm not sure if we can control that ball of fire for Dark 30, but maybe at some other future time. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange, Don't Touch That Dial.